Today is June 9th, 1997, and I'm sitting here talking to Charlie Townsend, and he's visiting the Yukon after 86 years.
I left here in 37.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were born in Dawson,
Born in Dawson, yeah.
And what were your parents' names?
Townsend. Yeah. Oh, they were up there. My dad was up there for over 40 years. Yeah. And then he left there. All the time he was there, he kind of looked after. He had a store to start with. And I think he was janitor in the schoolhouse there for many years.
What was his first name?
Turner?
Townsend, yeah. That has a nice ring to it.
Pardon?
That has a nice ring to it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, he came in pretty early. He used to, I don't know whether it's still there now. I haven't got the picture, but he used to have a dog team here, too, and it was supposed to be the fastest dog team in the Yukon. That was in the, before, that was in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm. Now, did he come up as part of the gold rush, or did he come up after the gold?
No, he was here when the gold rush came. Yeah, and they had eight of them. He brought four kids in with him, and then he had four up there.
And were you, you were somewhere in the middle then?
Well, I was the youngest one in the family, yeah. But I had two brothers go overseas from 1914. George Black.
Oh, so they went with George Black's contingent.
Yeah. There used to be a picture of them down here. I was here about 6 or 7 years ago. I made a trip through here. And in the museum down there, they had a picture of that outfit. There was about 10 or 12 of them. And all their names were on a tapestry. I don't know if that's still there or not.
I think that's at McBride Museum. I think it's at McBride Museum. Yeah, I think I saw it there recently.
That's the name, McBride? I tried to find that place this time, and I don't know where we couldn't find it. We've been into two or three museums, but I got the kids with me now.
Yeah.
No, they went overseas with him and Boyle.
Yes.
Boyle was the first guy that built a dredge in Dawson.
Now, did you work on the dredges?
Yeah, I worked.
So was
I went to school on the dredge in Dawson and worked there for quite a few years.
So did that mean that you started, in your summers as a young man, or did you start working on the dredges after school?
Well, I was just a kid when I started working on the dredges there. Yeah. Then there was, in 37, the guy that used to be manager up there, they canned him up in Dawson, and right away he got a job in South America, working for Placer Development. And he was a manager down there. Well, a bunch of us went down to that country then.
What type of work did you do on the dredge?
Well, I did everything. I learned from start, and I was a dredge boss when I left there, dredge master. I had three brothers. There was three brothers that was in South America, and the three of us were all dredge masters. Eventually, yeah.
So were you working with YCGC then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the one down there was Placer. That's a big company in Vancouver.
So Placer. That was the firm that your brothers were working with in South America?
Yes.
Yeah. Was that hard work on the dredges?
No, hard enough, I guess. Enough, anyway, yeah. Yeah. But anyway, I got lots of pictures of dredges, but I don't have many here, that's all. But if you ever get that picture from the one with the dredge registrated just up above this bridge here a ways, but maybe a quarter of a mile above the dredge, where the bridge is. The bridge is not there anymore anyway.
So you're just describing a picture of
the
dredge at the
dredge,
mouth of the Klondike.
The mouth of the Klondike, yeah.
With the stern wheeler going by in the background.
Yeah. There's a steamboat over here. Well, the dredge is right here someplace, and right down just the other side of that bridge is a steamboat going down the river.
Now, what dredges did you work on?
On number one, and number five, and number six, there. And a good deal of them down, three or four down, different ones in South America. Yeah.
So you worked in South America also?
Oh, yeah.
Worldwide traveler.
Pardon?
You're a worldwide traveler.
Well, we moved around anyway. We got lots of trips out of it anyway. We go out down there for 2 years.
So. So would that have been after you worked on the dredges in the Dawson area?
Oh, yeah, after, yeah.
Yeah. So you gained all your experience there and then
yeah.
worked in South America for 2 years at a time and then come back?
But it was a lot tougher digging up north because we used to dig lots of frozen ground up there, you know. But down south, there was none of that down there. It was all good digging.
So all those people who worked on the dredges in Dawson must have been very skilled and their...
Well, you got to know what you're doing on one of them things anyway. I have one picture of a dredge at all. I don't know where it's at right now.
But you were just showing me a photograph now.
But this one is not up in Utah. This one's in South America, but they're just about the same. They're just about the same. That's in a river down in South America. I had one picture of number four, but I gave it to that gal in the hotel down there that runs that gift shop, you know. She was talking, all she could talk about was number four dredge when I started talking to her, so I gave her the picture. I said, here, you take it.
Now, you were telling me about this photograph of the roadhouse at Hunker's Summit.
Yeah.
And a horse team pulling a dredge part.
Yes.
And this was the...
That's the Hunker Summit. And you go up Hunker. From Dawson, you go about, it's about 8 or 9 miles, I guess, to where you turn off to go to Hunker. And then you go up 30 miles, actually, out of town. It'd be another 20 or 20, 21 or 22 miles to the top. Going up, it's quite a long hill going up, and then it drops right off and goes to Dominion. Dominion was one of the richest grounds, I guess, up there. I don't know, that little old dredge made lots of money up there. And they never had no locks when I worked on them dredges. There were no locks on nothing.
Mm. How much money would a dredge, would they let you know how much money would come out of a dredge?
Well, I don't know. We used to figure those days that dredge used to drink 100 ounces or a little better every day.
Really? And how early would they start in the season? How early in the year would the dredges start operating?
We'd go to work in April and we'd work about a month. They'd fix everything in there first class if they could, and then that would be May, start in the middle of May. And unless it broke down, we never stopped until October. It'd be in October,
really?
We'd shut down.
Yeah. So you'd have snow on the ground in October when you were still working then?
Yes, just about the end of October. Mm-hmm. And then it would freeze up, and that'd be it. Yeah. But I remember one year they kept the dredge that's there now, number four, the one they got the pictures of it. They kept it going all winter, one winter. But I think they just kept it going. That's all, you know.
Wow. Well, how would they keep the water moving then?
Well, they had a lot of trouble there, all right. But the dredge is moving all the time, you know. Not the riffles, but they didn't do too good. That was just that one year they kept it going all winter.
Now, this picture shows the spud being pulled by a horse team.
Yeah.
Would this be something that they would need to replace, or would this be one that they were bringing in for the construction?
Well,
of?
When they bring it in, that one spud would do, you know, you hardly ever wear them things out, you know.
Yeah.
Just solid iron. They're pretty heavy, though.
What was the thing you enjoyed most about working on the dredges? What did you enjoy?
Well, good digging, if it was good digging. Yeah, we used to have good digging. Now, that's in South America, too, but that's a picture of the bucket line. Those buckets that come up, every one of them, you're just running over with gravel down there when you got good digging. We dug pretty deep down. Up north, a little old, like on Dominion, the ground was only about 15 to, say, and between 15 to 20 feet deep, the bedrock. And on the big dredges, where number four is now, I guess they dig down about 30 or 40 feet, something like that. But these dredges down there, they go down 80 feet.
80 feet?
Yeah.
So what were some of the other differences between the dredge operation in South America and in Dawson?
Well,
Were the dredges about the same?
Oh, yeah, the dredges. Everybody says it looks a little different, but they're just the same exactly, more or less. Everything's the same, yeah.
And so you didn't need to thaw any of the ground?
No. And up north in the spring, before we'd get chardoned in May, why there were three or four that we used to call them the bull gang, they'd cut a trench right around the grave, about a foot or 2 feet wide, just to, so you could just start moving that thing a little bit, you know. They'd get that ice out of there, and then before, maybe 2 or 3 days or before the dredge started, why they'd just keep moving it just a bit. Not, you know, the ripples in it. Cuts that ice pretty quick then, you know.
So there'd be ice in the pond, yeah, even when they first started?
Oh, they'd blow it up too with powder and loosen it. They'd cut this first and then they'd blow, put a few shots of powder in to break the rest of the ice up in the pond. And then you just start moving that dredge a little bit and the riffles on it. And cuts it pretty quick. Right.
How many men would be employed on the dredge?
Well, there's four in a crew, three crews, that's 12, and then they got what they call a bull gang, there's about maybe four on that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the operation would be 24 hours a day?
Yeah,
again?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now everybody would come from Dawson out to the dredge each day then?
Well, no gee whizzickers on them. We used to go out there and stay there all summer, way out in the bush, you know. We'd never go to town. Like on Dominion and Granville, that's a long way those days, 30 to 60 miles. Well, Dominion was about 30 miles, a couple of miles down below this place. Then it was another 30 miles down to the other dredge. Well, that's a long way. There were no cars them days like you got here today. My goodness, I can't get over Whitehorse today. The way it's built up and street lights.
Lots of street lights too.
Well, we went away out there yet the other day. We went out to that where they swim in that hot place.
Oh, Dakini Hot Springs.
And about half or three quarters of the way out there, there's street lights and nothing else. But I don't know where they're at.
So were there bunk houses out on Granville?
Oh yeah, I always had a little cabin myself.
And how did you rate a cabin?
Well, it was my own. My own. I lived up in that country and we worked shift work and I had my own cabin.
So did that
mean? We'd move it. It was on skid. We could pull it from one place to another, you know. Move it.
So did you have to cook your own meals
no,
too?
No, 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 no. We never cooked. They had a cookhouse there. Like the last place I worked in Granville, there was two dredges there. Well, there was 140 or 50 men working in that camp. But they thaw the ground, you know. There's a good big crew thawing ground. They used to thaw it with what they call points, and that's water, cold water. They'd have hundreds of them little pipes in the ground, you know. Big pumps pumping water out there.
Were you ever involved with the operation when they were using steam in the points?
No, that was before my time. They had steam there, yes. Yeah. But they run out of wood. They burned all the wood in the country. Pretty well, so they had to, they found out, well, water's the best, better than steam and easier to get and cost way less than the wood. They had their pumps. Their pumps cost a lot of dough to start with, I guess. Mm-hmm. Once those pumps are pumping, one guy looks after two or three of those pumps, and they keep, well, I don't know how big a pumps they were there. They must have been about 16-inch pumps, 12 or 16-inch pumps they had there. I never worked around them, but I saw them lots of times.
Now, would most of the people working on the dredges be from Dawson? Or would they have to bring more people in?
When I first started, after they were all Yukoners on those dredges, yeah, and then it was later in the 30s, they started coming in. Mm-hmm. When I first started dredging, it was all French Canadians up there. Man, the country was full of them. And when I left, it was all Swedes and Norwegians.
Really?
They started coming in and they came on skis. They were just coming in droves up there. I don't know where the French Canadians seemed to pull out of there, some of them, and the Swedes took over. But anyway, they're all pretty good workers, them guys. The French Canadians were good, and the Swedes were good.
So there was never any problem getting people to work?
No, no.
What kind of wages did you have?
Wages?
Yeah.
Well, they're very sticky. Like I say, I worked up there for 10 years, when I look back now, we figured it was pretty good dough those days, you know. To start with, when I first started working, I was making 45 cents an hour. And then when I got to be an operator on a gold rig, I was making 80 cents an hour. And that went on. That price had never went up. It stayed there and there and there for years and years. And now I come out here with three daughters and myself. And I figure this trip cost me more money than I ever made in the Yukon. Or just about as much, just about the same. I'll break even on the deal, maybe. We used to make about $900 a year up there. $800-$900.
Yeah. And that was considered fairly good wages.
Oh,
then,
that
wasn't
was good dough then, yeah. Like the trip from here to Skagway cost us $20. And the trip from Skagway to Vancouver, $45. Well, I don't know what it costs today, but it's a pretty big price today, I'll tell you.
A lot more than that.
Oh, man, yeah. And I bought an Arctic, one of those Arctic eiderdown sleeping bags up north. And I think I paid $60 for that. I don't know what they are. They're $300 or $400 a day.
Yeah, they are really expensive.
And the funny thing is, I had that until about a month ago, or 2 months ago, that Arctic eiderdown, was never used, you know, but it was in a sack. And we took it into a lady that makes quilts, and she took all the down out of it, and she made two little quilts out of it, you know.
So when you were working on the dredges, you'd only come in, would you come into Dawson at the end of the season? Or you
at
just
the end of the season, maybe, yeah. If we were coming out here outside, we'd go into Dawson.
Yeah.
But if we weren't, we'd hibernate there like a bear for another year.
Yeah.
And we'd have two summers' wages. But as you went to Dawson, holy doodle, you'd go broke in a week in there, yeah. But out in the bush, why? Here, I got a picture out in the bush here someplace.
So did a lot of men have their own little cabins out
oh,
near
yeah.
the camps?
Oh, yeah. A lot of the old guys had their own cabins, yeah. I don't know where that had that in the hand here someplace.
So now you're showing me a few more of your photographs here. Oh, no, what is this one?
There's two Klondikes. There's a north and a south fork. But the middle of the 30s, they decided to build more dredges. So they got four of those shovels like that, and they built a ditch from the North Fork to the South Fork.
So this is a Marion
yeah.
electric shovel?
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is actually digging the North Fork ditch?
Yeah, that dug the ditch. Yeah, there was four of them. And it seems to me Ed Whitehouse worked on them shovels. I know he did.
Yes,
do you know that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I can't remember who. George, my brother George, worked on it.
This is Shirley.
But Ed Whitehouse worked there. And there was a...
Oh, my. Now, I've just seen another photograph here. And who is that?
Well, that's Solomon Albers. And he worked on the White River. Do you know the White River or heard anything about the White River?
Just a little bit.
It's just out of here. It's on that when you take that highway that goes over on top of the world, you go right through there, right through the White River. But anyway, he was a prospector up in that country. That's before my time. He froze his feet. So there was two other guys there with him, so they figured to bring him in to Dawson. And they got started in and they ran out of food, so he took his rifle and made them leave him.
Really?
And he figured to shoot himself. But anyway, gee, they were only gone a day or two, and they bumped into a police patrol. They told him about Solomon. they dumped the load they had, whatever they had on the sleigh, and headed straight for there, and he was still there anyway. They took him into Dawson, and they cut his feet off, you know, pretty well. But I remember the guy, years after that, used to ride a bicycle a lot around town.
So what does he have on his feet here?
He got a pair of shoes made in Dawson to fit his feet after he got his feet chopped off. And then he took off for White River again, and he wore the shoes out. And so he had to make a pair of shoes up there, so he killed a bear and made a pair of shoes out of bear feet.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and then of course that was quite a while. And anyway, in the winter time, there was a couple of guys out there and hunting or something, and they saw these bears that never got off his hind feet, so they just followed him right to his cabin.
That must have been quite a surprise for them.
I've got a story. That was my dad's story.
So your dad.
But I knew the guy. Oh yeah, I knew the guy too. Yeah, I remember. This happened before my time, but he was there a lot of years after that.
So he was. Would he come into town?
Oh
occasionally?
Yeah, yeah. When he got to be an old guy, he hung around town most of the time anyway. You know, and he'd ride a bicycle wherever he went. He'd ride a bike, but he had more. He didn't have the bare feet on there. That he got shoes made again when he was riding a bike. Yeah. Oh yeah, he was on the White River for a long time. Well, there's copper up there. You know, one of these days they must get copper from up there.
I think that's where that big nugget from McBride Museum came from, somewhere in the White River area.
Yeah. Because always down in Dawson, we had a great big slab of copper on the porch, again for a doorstop, you know, and he's the guy that brought that down there and gave it to my dad.
Now, I'm just going to make a pause right for this moment.
60 miles from Dawson.
So this is out in Granville?
That's a roadhouse. And the guy that ran that roadhouse, he was an alderman in Dawson for years and years. His name was Taddy, Andrew Taddy. So he had horses. He had two horses and three or four cows and half a dozen pigs and lots of chickens and goats. And he had everything there. They had trucks up in that country those days, and one of the truck drivers going over there, that moose was just laying on the road. It was only a little baby one, you know. So they picked him up and put him in the truck and took him to Taddy's, and they raised that moose on that goat.
On the goat's milk?
Yeah.
Well, I've never seen a shot like this before.
And old Taddy, he had that moose for three or four years, I guess, you know. And it would follow him. He had a pickup truck, and if he came down, he used to come to the camp every day and pick up the scraps to feed his pigs and whatnot, and chickens or whatever he ate. And that moose would come and run right along beside the truck with him. Wherever Taddy went, there the moose would go.
So what happened when the moose got bigger?
Well, when the moose got bigger, it used to wander off in the bush every once in a while. About three or four years after Taddy had it, somebody shot him. And he was really put out about that too, you know. There was nothing he could do about it then. Oh. Moose was gone.
Well, pretty hard to control a moose too if you wanted to go in the bush.
But I've gone down that place many times, and I remember two or three times I went down at night and it's dark, you know. And you'd walk into that moose, man, and scare the life out of you and jump up like a, you know. You couldn't see him. You can't see him. You know.
Better than a watchdog.
And it got so it was. There was many people that come out there, they'd take a picture of it, you know. And all them old guys that lived around there, well, they'd feed them. Well, every time you put your hand out, like holding a camera, you figured you had something to eat, you know, and he'd come up to you. And you'd back off, they'd back off, the moose would go at him again. Pretty soon he'd get mad and he'd come up your hind legs at him, you know. And that was a bar there, too. That was a bar there, and that was the door right there, I guess. And that was linoleum on the floor, and the old moose used to go in there, but his feet would be going in all directions. He couldn't hardly stand up on that linoleum floor.
So was the bar a popular place?
Pardon?
Was the bar a popular place?
Well, there was no, you know, it's not like today, man. There was only 10 or 12 guys that stayed out there in the wintertime, you know. No, there wasn't too much going on there. You might have a beer once in a while. No, that wasn't Ike and Whitehorse or Dodson. No. There's one of the planes we used to ride around on. That was a, that's a Ford.
Yes, and so you...
And the funny part of it is there was Fords here. I think that, I'm not sure, but I wouldn't be surprised that that wasn't Washington's plane there. I looked at those numbers on his plane yesterday and now I can't remember.
Yeah.
They're down there. I don't know whether that's it or not. I'm not sure. But if that's his plane, I rode from here to Dawson one time with Washington.
Mm-hmm. Would that have been an unusual event to fly?
Well, I flew a few times from Dawson out here.
Yeah.
And we come out in a Ford a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Did you know, and who is this standing beside the...
There on the, that, well, that's... This one's Dad.
Yeah, so this is Ed Whitehouse.
Yeah.
Did you know him well?
Oh, yes, pretty well. I knew everybody up there those days. But he had a mail route up there, you know, in the wintertime. I made that trip with him a couple of times. When he had too much freight and wanted to hand it all some of it up, I had a dog team, I'd go with him.
So what was his mail run?
Up to the Stewart.
What type of things would he have on that as mail?
Pardon?
What type of, would he take more than just mail? Oh,
well,
supplies,
you know, yeah, they'd order little things, you know, and well, he always had a load of stuff, you know, like the time I went with him, he had more than he could handle, you know. And then when he come back from up there, they used to pick up a lot of furs too, you know. Different to go along, there's trappers up there and they just give him and then he'd go in and sell them. He'd sell them for the trappers.
So when
there was another guy who used to run that too, was Gray Hoggin. You knew him, didn't you? You heard of him anyway. He was on the same mail route. Mm-hmm. I think before Ed, I don't know, before Ed, I guess, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Shirley Whitehouse is sitting in with us too. You can speak if you'd like.
Well, I'm just nodding.
I never made that trip with Gray Hoggin, but two or three times I'd be up and we'd be up late at night and he'd pull out not to go to bed. I'd go up with him, help him hook up the dogs, and he's gone, mail and all.
This is quite a contrast, this photograph, actually seeing the dog team beside the airplane.
Yeah, well, that's right in Dawson on the river.
Yeah.
They had no airport there them days anyway.
So would the plane carry mail just between the larger communities, or?
Yeah, they always seem to have something aboard them. I remember the first time I ever saw bananas there in the wintertime, it was one of them planes that brought them in. Yeah. I have a picture someplace here with beside the plane with my dog. I was there with my dog. I used to haul gas for them.
Right there.
No,
yeah.
That's not that one. There's another one someplace.
So you used to haul gas with your dog team?
Oh, yeah. It would come in cases that day, you know. There must be another one. There's another airplane there someplace where the dog came on. Yeah. There should be. Just a couple of dogs there.
This picture is with two airplanes on the river in front of Dawson. And that's you with your dog team?
Yeah, I used to haul. I knew all them guys. There was a... My head don't work too good. There was Cruikshank and Mulism. And there's one other, Patterson. Patterson was the first one, I think, and then Cruikshank, and then Mulism. And I used to haul, the gas came in cases, it was 10 gallons in a case, two cans. That's the only way the gas came up in this country. I'd haul them 10 or 12 cases of gas down there for one of those planes.
Would you have any notice that they were coming in, or would you just...
Well, yeah, we'd know more or less they were coming, or as soon as they came, we'd head right down there, you know.
Yeah.
And that's, I remember one time when we hauled them bananas up for them, fruit, we brought in a load of fruit and I hauled it up for them. I couldn't get over seeing bananas in the middle of winter there.
Yeah. Must have been a real treat.
Yeah.
So were you hauling the gas as part of a contract with them?
Oh, no, I guess all the gas. I forget. They might give me a couple of bucks. I don't know. We never had nothing. No. The guys and they got to have gas. Those days you weren't looking for anything anyway,
Yeah.
Not for that. That was just to get down there and give them a hand or something, there was two guys right in this town that did that, and then I think they got to be flyers. One of them was Harbottle, and the other was Holbrook.
Oh.
You must have knew
him. Oh, yes. I knew, I knew of Mr. Holbrook. I know his daughters.
Both Bud Harbottle and Bud Holbrook. But I think they were both killed off in the plane. I don't know. I forget now.
So did most people have their own dog teams?
Oh, there was quite a few of them up there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those days. Yeah.
Is that how you would normally get out to the creeks if you...
Oh, we used to. They'd get us as far as Bear Creek or the Arlington, and then from there we used to walk. It's the only way you go there to walk in the spring.
That's a pretty long walk.
Not that roadhouse there on top of the summit. We every time we walk, we stay there the next day. We see that big white building there. So we'd stay there overnight anyway. Stay there overnight and then when we would go down and we'd be down to camp in an hour in the morning. It was only a couple, 3 or 4 miles down the hill to the camp. But the lady that run this was a good cook, and nobody bothered to stay there. Always got a good feed out of it anyway. Fourniers, yeah, maybe you heard of the Fourniers.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Sure, this was Joe, and then there was an Archie. My brother's married to one of his daughters, and Jean. There was three Fourniers, and each one of them had a roadhouse.
Wasn't one of them in the Mayo area for a while, too?
In Mayo?
No, maybe not.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. That's a long time ago, but these guys, when they had their roadhouses there, they were there all the time. I know.
They have another picture of a hockey team here.
Oh, yeah.
What, the Senators?
Well, this was supposed to be the police team. They always had two or three hockey teams up there, you know. This was a policeman, this was a policeman, he was a policeman, and this was a policeman. This no, and this no, and this one, this is my brother of mine. This is Best of the Taylors. Maybe you heard of Best?
The Best, yes.
Yeah, well, that's
Harold Best?
Yeah. They had a tailor shop in Dawson.
I don't know what they had in Dawson, but I do remember Harold Best. Yeah. And his daughter.
And this is a Samuelson. You knew Samuelsons.
Yes.
This is Myers.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know Myers. I knew Helmer.
You knew Helmer, I guess. Helmer Samuelson used to run the newspaper here. And he ran the newspaper up in Dawson for a long time. And he lost a leg or something. He spilt hot lead on his leg or something.
Oh, my. So were you a hockey fan?
Oh, yeah, we used to play hockey up there, too. Yeah. Oh, that's a long time ago. Yeah. I wasn't very happy with that hockey game the other night, though.
So there would be lots of teams?
Pardon?
Would there be lots of local hockey teams?
Yeah, there'd be maybe two or three teams, you know. But not too many, at least two, sometimes three, maybe.
Was the competition fierce?
Oh, yes. Well, that used to, the arena there used to, the kids made it. It was just a big arena, but we used to put the ice in ourselves. It was just natural. Natural ice. There was an old guy there with horses, and he used to haul in two or three big loads of snow. It was us kids that loaded the snow, and take it in there and put it around, and then go in there with a little hose and get her started.
And then would you scrape it down, or would anybody maintain the ice after?
Oh, yeah, we'd have to look after the ice, yeah. Oh, there's three or four of us would be there. That's all we had to do in the wintertime. Nobody worked up there, you know. You had something to pass the time away with, messing around there with that ring. Yeah. There's another picture there. That's a White Pass dock.
So So it looks like the ice has...
Well, it's kind of smashed her up a bit.
Yeah, it sure looks like it.
Yeah. The ice was going out, and it's, oh yeah, that used to happen every once in a while. That ice is pretty wicked stuff, but now that won't happen now because they got a big dike around that. You can't even see the Iowa with Matter and a Hatter. You drive around Front Street there and you can't see the river unless you go up on that dike. Yeah.
No,
before, no matter where you went, you could see the river. And there's a hydro. That was the mine is still there, but it's not working anymore.
So that's a hydraulic operation.
Yeah.
Do you know where it was?
Oh, yes. That's Jackson Gulch. It's only about 4 or 5 miles out of Dawson, I guess. Something like that. And the funny part of it is, when I was there, the road went over the tailings all the time. But now they got this road switched out. You don't go going right through the mine, actually, with the road. But now they got the road out. They got the road out where the dredges was out right on top of the tailing pile.
Now, were there many people hydraulic mining?
Pardon?
Were there many people hydraulic mining?
Oh yes, quite a few. That was a big company there too. I can't remember the name of them. I should know the name of them. They had a big pipeline going right across the Klondike under that bridge. That bridge that goes across the Klondike there. There's a great big pipe. They brought that water for 60 miles.
That treadmill?
Mm-hmm. No, treadmill? I wasn't that. That was a that tread goal.
Yes.
That was a dredging outfit. Mm-hmm.
So it would be a very large company that would ever do any hydraulic mining.
Oh yeah, a big company. Yeah. Oh, they made lots of money up there, I guess.
Would they hire? Would they be a large employer, or would they only have five or six people?
I guess they wouldn't have too many when those are going. I don't think. Don't take too many, but they got a lot of water there. Those nozzles are six or seven inch nozzles,
So water must have been fairly scarce around Dawson because
that came 60 miles away from where they got that. It was a long way, and all that there was ditches and flumes and pipes and. And then it'd come across the Klondike right at Bear Creek, right in Bear Creek. That road or the bridge went across there, and this was the big pipeline. It was a pipe, but it must be at least 3 feet in diameter anyway, that pipe.
Mm-hmm. And so that pipe was the...
Well, that's nothing to do with this one.
Okay.
No.
So it wasn't connected to the North Fork at all?
No. Well, no, that...
I remember seeing something running under that Klondike bridge, but I didn't realize that's what it was. It was
underneath a water flume.
Yeah.
We were there the other day, and the bridge is still there. My brother used to live, he worked in Bear Creek a long time, and he lived in the house that's closest to the river. Mm-hmm. That's after he came back from the war, he worked there. That's a long time ago. I think these were the machine, all these.
So would you say that mining was pretty much the basis of the Dawson economy?
Oh, that's all that was there. I don't think that bit of trapping outside the fur.
Now, where is this photograph?
Oh, that was a camp for those where these were working.
For the Marion
electric
shovels?
Yes.
Yeah.
I worked there for a year or two, and I was just I must have been about 14 or 15 years old, I guess.
So what were you doing?
Well, I worked with the engineers, just holding them rods up for them to shoot at, and cutting lines. But there was no end of moose and bears up there. Oh my goodness, the moose and the bears, they were there by the hundreds. There was a dirt road, and you couldn't put your foot down on that road without a bear track. No end of bear.
Now, did this particular camp last very long, or was it sort of a temporary camp?
Well, it was just a temporary camp. Well, they dug the ditch.
Yeah,
and that was in the center. The intake was here, and the outlet was here, and the camp was here. Now, this ditch just ran in. They had another ditch, the North Fork ditch. It was an old, it was older, way older than this one.
Right.
But they didn't have enough water to make power for more dredges.
So was it a totally new ditch that they put in, or did they just enlarge the old ditch?
Oh, that's a brand new ditch. It's come from the South Fork all together. If you ever get a map, you'll see the Klondike River. There's a South Fork and a North Fork. Mm-hmm. And this water came from the South Fork into the North Fork. Because that's all they call it. They call the power plant was the North Fork. It's still the North Fork, I guess. That's all.
So these are electric shovels.
Oh yeah, well they
so
brought
where
their,
did they bring?
That was a power plant they had there, and that power plant was working along. There was lots of dredges working. There was three and four dredges working. There was a couple more beside that working before they ever built this. Yeah.
So it was the power plant that generated the electricity
all the dredges, yeah. And then they took power from there. They built a brand new pole line up there and brought power to dig this ditch. Wow. But that'd be all over with that power line when they were finished. Mm-hmm. Like I say, your dad worked there digging that ditch on those shovels. And my brother, there was about there was three or four guys on each shovel, but I don't remember.
Was that in the 30s that ditch was being?
Yeah, that was started in the 20s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was in the 20s when I was there, and to begin with, Treadgold was an Englishman, mm-hmm. and he brought about 16 or 18 guys from England to run these shovels because nobody knew how to run them. Well, that year they went broke, the company went broke. The dredges were running, but that's all. So they didn't do anything for a year. Then the next year, they gathered up all these kids that were there and put them on them shovels, and they're the guys that dug the ditch.
Really?
I mean, they didn't have to bring anybody from England to run shovels, and they had guys up there that could learn how to run them easy enough, you know. So, yeah, that's a long time ago now, too. I knew all them guys, and we had pictures of them all. George has got the pictures.
Has he?
And they all grew beards. Every one of them that worked there grew big beards. You know, for some reason or other, and they got their pictures taken. The whole gang of them with beards, these big beards on. I wish I had that picture, but I don't. I never had one of those.
You never seen my dad with a beard.
Yeah. So was that unusual? Would most men shave most of the time?
Oh, they all were shaved up there. Yeah. Nobody grew a beard up in that country till these guys and them shovels started. I guess they were trying to beat one. I think Sox Trovery was up there too, I'm pretty sure. Oh, man, if I could only remember the names of the rest of them. But I never worked there then. I worked there before them got, when these Englishmen were there, that's when I worked there. Then they put me on a gold dredge and I never got off the dredge. I was on the dredges when them guys were running these shovels. Well, that's a long time ago.
So what type of social activities were there when you were growing up in Dawson?
Oh,
what types of things
hunting
did you
and fishing. Oh, lots of that. You could go hunting when you wanted and go fishing. Like on Dominion every day. As soon as I'd get off work in the daytime or the afternoon shift, I'd have 22. I'd just take the 22 and head off into the bush. All I ever shoot at was usually shoot at rocks on the road, you know. And you get those ruts. Ruts in those roads, and you can get a rock, a little bit of a rock in that rut, and you can drive it up, you know, see how many times you hit that rock. Well, that's all that's about. And then we go fishing. We catch fish, and if there was any married people around there, you just give them the fish, mm-hmm. get rid of them. Grayling.
So were there many families
Grayling.
At the camps?
Great. Pardon?
You said if there were any married people, you'd give them the grayling. Were there any families at the camps,
too?
Oh,
yeah. Yes. One of the last dredge I worked on up there, there was a Hagstrom up there, and his son was on the plane the other day coming up there to go to that Yukoners bill. Yeah. I met him on the plane. I met him a couple of times before that. I knew him when he was born, but I never knew him. I knew your dad, you know. Hagstrom was his name.
Now my tape is just about run off.
And he was a flyer himself, that's what he did, but he's retired now. so.
With Air Canada, yeah.
Shows you how old everybody's getting up there when they, he's not that old, not as old as I am, that's for sure.
I'm going to stop this tape now because I'm just about at the end.
You people in Whitehorse must have heard of him. He finally hit a mountain going to Skagway or coming from Skagway. That was when Clyde Wan's plane, the last plane he had here. Well, I was his first passenger out from Dawson. And Gumboot McLeod, you know him, and his wife, and she was sick, hurt or something. I know she couldn't move anyway. And we left Dawson too late, or we couldn't get the thing going, it was too cold, and he had a heck of a time to get it to go, but he finally got it going. We took off, and of course it got late, and we got dark. We were flying when it got dark, and he didn't know where we were at. So we flew here and flew there, and finally he spotted the light right away. That's his first trip. He says, "Oh, there's Whitehorse." I looked down, I seen that one light. I said, "I don't think it's Whitehorse. There's more than one light in Whitehorse. It's only a little place. There was 50 or 60 people here them days. It would be more than one light." But anyway, there was a lake there, and we landed on the lake. And then the next morning, when he sat with that plane half the night, and I went and sat with the other half the night, and he kept a fire pot going underneath it to keep it warm. And the next morning, when just him and I took off, he left them two there. And we were very lucky. There was two Indian trappers there, and we stayed with them. They were on that plane 10 minutes after we sat down. They were right there with it, which is pretty lucky for us, with that lady the way she was. But anyway, him and I took off, and we went up in the air. We were flying about 20 minutes, and he figured we were going the wrong way, so he came back and he landed again. We took off again.